Today's program has been brought to you by Root 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit www.rt11.com.
You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us, and enjoy the show. This is a special recording in anticipation of the 2013 Manhattan Cocktail Classic.
Classic.
The Classic is a celebration of the intersections between cocktails and culture. With nearly 100 events spread across 5 days in 3 boroughs and a multi-day trade conference to boot, the Manhattan Cocktail Classic offers a vast array of unique experiences to enthusiasts and professionals alike, expanding the very definition of what constitutes a cocktail event. This year's festivities kick off with the gala on Friday, May 17th at the New York Public Library. For more information about all of the events and tickets, visit ManhattanCocktailClassic.com.
Good afternoon. My name is Kathleen Sherry, and I'm reporting with the Heritage Radio Network. org. In our continuing coverage of the Manhattan Cocktail Classic coming up, we have Brian McKenzie on the line.
Owner. Hey, Kathleen.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, you?
I'm great. You're the owner of Finger Lakes Distillery. So let's jump right in and let's begin where it all began, with the forming of Finger Lakes Distillery. Tell me a little bit about it and how it started, how it came together.
Sure. We're located upstate here in the Finger Lakes region. We've been distilling for about 4.5 years now. The idea was to create a distillery in a growing wine region. So we're seeing a ton of tourists come through the area to sample the wines, and there's several of those people that are also spirits drinkers. So we're trying to cater to that market and also getting our product into several other markets, New York City being a huge part of our growth right now. And, we're a farm distillery, so we source all of our, pretty much all of our ingredients. About 90% of what we use is grown right here in the region. And we make it all from scratch right at our facility here.
Okay, great. So I have a question. I was looking up your company, and your background isn't really in distilling, so I think it was an interesting story how it came together, you, McKenzie, and the other McKenzie who opened up the distillery. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So I'm from this area. I grew up in Elmira and went to school in Ithaca. My background's in banking and finance, but I had a transition with the bank I was working for back in 2006 and was looking to start a business in the, associated with the wine region. I've always had more of an appreciation for spirits, so at that point in time, I started looking into starting a distillery. We hit a pretty significant roadblock right out of the gates because our business model called for a tasting room with direct sales to consumers and that kind of thing. And that wasn't allowed in New York State before 2007. So I worked with some other small distilleries and the New York Farm Bureau to draft some legislation that created the New York Farm Distilling License class, which allows us to do that. And in turn, we have pledged to use raw material from the state. So that's kind of where we got started. Like you said, my background's not in the production side of things, but there's definitely plenty to keep me busy with the business side. As I was researching the idea, went to a distilling conference and bumped into this guy from South Alabama who kind of grew up with distilling in his family and kind of in his bloodlines, and he's worked for breweries and distilleries and that kind of thing. So we kind of hit it off at the conference, and you know, it was just kind of interesting that we both shared the same last name, McKenzie, with no direct relationship.
Right.
Yeah. But as it turns out, we found that there's a lot of McKenzies in the whiskey business. So not sure what that says about our people, but it seems to be the case.
Okay. So having most of your ingredients from the New York area, do you think that affects the product, like the freshness of your ingredients? Because I know when brewers use fresh hops versus dried hops, that definitely changes the flavor. What about with raw ingredients making rye whiskey and bourbon and the like?
I don't know if it's so much the freshness of the ingredients, because most everything we're using is
dried.
But we do try to use fresh fruit whenever we can in our liqueurs and brandies, which I think makes a big difference. But I think it's just more the quality of the ingredients that you can get from New York State. It's pretty much everything that we would want to distill is grown in this area and grown to a very high quality. So, you know, other than making rum or tequila or something like that, we have a lot to work with here in the Finger Lakes. And a lot of our products are grape-based as well, our vodkas and gins and liqueurs. So, you know, we have our own vineyard here, and there's probably 25 other vineyards within a 10 to 15 mile radius of where we are. So it's definitely a good spot to find our ingredients.
Yeah. Also, your bourbon whiskey, it's aged differently than most. I hear the way that you finish it, it's in a Chardonnay barrel. How did you guys come up with that?
We had just, I know there was a larger distillery that had done a finished whiskey in Chardonnay years ago, and I always thought that was a pretty unique flavor profile. We wanted to kind of do some things a little differently, kind of give a nod to the wine region where we are. So really our first whiskey that we ever put out was our rye whiskey, and we aged that in new charred oak and then transferred into sherry for 4 to 6 weeks before it's bottled. And the sherry finishing really complements the spice of the rye. So that one is a product that actually takes on a lot of the characteristics of the finishing barrel, whereas the bourbon, it definitely changes in the Chardonnay cask, but it doesn't really pick up the wine flavor. It's just more of a kind of rounds it out. There's a producer up here that makes a real nice, you know, buttery Chardonnay, and we've used their barrels to really kind of add some complexity to the bourbon.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of times the area where you are really contributes to your product being in the New York Finger Lakes area. I heard that you're thinking of moving to Connecticut, to Kentucky, maybe opening up a distillery there.
No, we have no plans to do that. No, we're happy where we are. We just acquired a new still from Kentucky.
Okay. So that's what the rumor was.
Yeah, our plans are to grow right here in the Finger Lakes.
Okay. So this coming Manhattan Cocktail Classic, I hear in the gala, the opening night, there's going to be a really big New York State distillery area. I know Tuttletown will be there, along with Kings County Distillery, as well as you guys, Finger Lakes Distillery. What are you guys going to be offering there?
Yeah, it's really exciting. We've got, I think there's 24 New York State distillers in total that'll be there. There's going to be a room at the library there that'll be totally dedicated to New York State producers. And this is a direct result of a wine, beer, and spirits summit that the governor held back in October, I think it was, where he pledged some extra support for our industries. So the state's really gotten behind what the craft distillers are doing, and this is one way to showcase, you know, in front of such a great audience. So we'll all have a little spot in this room at the gala, and we'll all be serving kind of our own cocktail that evening with a chance to meet with the attendees and let them know what's going on with our businesses. So it's it's definitely a very exciting thing to that's in the works here.
Yeah. So do you know what kind of cocktails you'll be serving, or are you sure of the specifics yet?
Yeah, we've decided to feature our rye, which is our really kind of our flagship product in the Manhattan area. We're going to do that with a rhubarb and lemon. So it's going to be kind of a rhubarb and rye cocktail, which is seems like a great time of year as the fresh rhubarb starting to come out up this way, and it works well with the rye whiskey.
Yeah, I think so. So you've been brewing, you've been in distilling since 2007. While you guys opened up, could you tell me, were there any really big learning experiences for you during that time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's that's when we started working on the distillery. So I remember meeting with some other distillers in other parts of the country, and they're like, you know, telling me that it's going to take a couple, 3 years to get the business up and going, and I thought they were crazy that we'd be, you know, serving product within a year or so.
Yeah.
As it turned out, it was about 2.5 years later that we made our first sale, so it was
wow. You
know, July of 2009. So it's, yeah, there's so much that was learned kind of in that process, starting a business from scratch. I guess any business would be like that, but especially one that's so heavily regulated, and you know, we went through brand new construction and the complexities with the equipment. So, yeah, it's definitely been a pretty adventurous business to get into.
Any wacky stories, things that you really didn't expect to come across or learn?
Boy, there's probably a ton. you know, I think just really became kind of, you realized how patient you have to be in a business that's got so many barriers to get into, I guess. You know, never dreamed that the license itself would take about a year after, you know, going through all the investment with the buildings and equipment and everything, but you're kind of at the mercy of the agencies that regulate you. And I think there's been some positive changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the governor's office has really gotten behind the industry, so I think some of that's starting to soften a little bit. But overall, it's a tough business.
Yeah, it definitely is. Could you tell me a little bit more about the laws that have been passed to make distilling in New York State a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think the key for us was that passing of the Farm Distilling Bill in 2007. You know, having direct access to the customers, being able to sample them on the products, those are all huge for what we're doing. We saw about 40,000 people here at the distillery last year, so
wow.
You know, we're really promoting tourism, and if they couldn't have that kind of experience, they wouldn't be stopping by. And then lately, there's been a lot more. There's actually one that just came into effect here recently. Distilleries can now provide those tastings and sales at any New York State registered farm market. So you'll start seeing distilled spirits at farm markets, and you can buy a bottle of bourbon when you pick up your celery, stuff like that. So it's going to be that'll be a great way to directly engage with people as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of things in the works too. You know, we're actively creating a New York State Distillers Guild, which is, you know, working with the State Liquor Authority and Department of Ag and Markets to make suggested changes that will, you know, help our businesses grow.
Yeah. So, do you see Finger Lakes Distillery coming down to like maybe the city or different farmers markets in the near future?
We're looking into it right now. The challenges, you know, are the tourism that's generated up this way takes up so much of our time and attention that time of year. But you know, there's certain events throughout the state that that do hold like temporary farmer market permits, like the state fair, for instance. There's
mm-hmm.
a large wine festival out this way, And those kinds of events are picking up these farmers market permits that allow all these activities to go on. So we'll definitely take advantage of some of those.
Okay, so coming back to the city, you guys will be here at the Manhattan Cocktail Classic. Is this your first time at the event? Or have
no,
you got...
we've done, I guess, 3 years now. We've had some kind of a presence, but this year we're really getting involved a little more heavily with things. We've got the gala on Friday evening. On Sunday, we're doing an event with Blue Hill, where we're going to really dig into the agricultural aspects of what we're doing. Both myself and Thomas, our distiller, will be on the panel, along with Andrea Stanley from Valley Malt, a malting company, and then Glenn Roberts from Anson Mills, a large grain farmer. So that'll be pretty cool for people that are really interested in the specifics
of how the business runs.
How it starts as, you know, raw grain and gets all the way into spirit. So, and then we're also working with Doug Miller from the Culinary Institute of America for an industry event where he's going to do some exhibit kind of showing how to make homemade sodas and then pairing those sodas with some of our spirits. And that's on Monday. So.
Okay, that's great. I think we'll be winding down now. But if people want to reach you, do you have a Twitter? Do you have a website where people can reach you and get in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just fingerlakesdistilling.com. We also have a presence on Facebook. And our distillery is open every day 11 to 5 for visitors. So you know, it's we're getting a lot more traffic from people in the city, and we definitely love to show them all the Finger Lakes has to offer.
Okay, thank you so much, Brian, for spending the time. My name's Kathleen Sherry. I've been reporting for Heritage Radio Network. You can find this interview archived on iTunes or on our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.